Hi, my name is Aiden. For those who don't know me, that's me. And I've actually got the privilege of actually sharing this morning. So you do know that when we looked at the Springboks, they sent their B team in. They didn't do so well. So I'm not the B team, and that's not why I'm wearing blue. So we're coming in, Saja, while the rest of our guys, I think Hannes has gone off down to Cape Town to prep for 412, and Trev's gone down there also for the leaders training time. And Anton's still overseas in Holland on an outreach. So yeah, I hope this morning that you guys will hear the words that I'm actually wanting the Lord, which I feel the Lord is actually wanting us to go ahead and massage into all of us this morning. Okay, let's just pray. I'm praying for myself. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, you just soften hearts this morning, that you'll just allow this morning this word to change mindsets, Lord, that might be fixed and rigid, Lord. I pray, Lord, that nothing of me comes through, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that your word will come through strong and actually change lives, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, so my name is Aiden, and I'm one of the fortunate few elders that actually has been here since the inception, when this building started as a concrete slab. I look across here to my faithful ladies, Samantha, Barbara, and Pat. There's who else over here? I think John's not here. Don was here, yes, back there. So we've watched this building grow, and I think I arrived here as a single bachelor. Don and myself lived together. And then this beautiful lady over here, do you want to stand up just so I can show everyone what you look like? Turn around. 6 months later, this beautiful lady moved down from Durban, and the shirt she's wearing says Countess. She's more than a Countess. She's my princess. We met in a Greek cruise liner when I was working on a social host, and she was a beautician, and we met in Greece. Who knows that God would actually have orchestrated and brought us together and brought us all the way down from Durban down to Mossel Bay to go ahead and actually make this our home, make us our family. And this morning I'm going to be preaching about, if I had to give it a name, it's called God's Family. And I've actually been fortunate. I'm going to ask my four kids to stand up. I've had four. Stand up quickly. Seth, who's turned 16 today. Levi, over there, 14. Troy and Cleo. Each one of these children have actually been born in this church. The first dedication we did in this church was Seth in the reception foyer over here. And it's been amazing to be part of the church where your children actually, you got married in the church. You got your children brought up in the church. And this is actually my family. And each person I look around here, I see people whose lives that I've actually walked with. I even look at Mike sitting on the beach for the first time we baptized him, and I look where he's walking right now. Also a father now. God touches each of us, and we live together, and that's what I just felt God touched on us is that, yeah, I want to put up the first scripture, Gina, Psalm 68. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling, and he sets the lonely into families, and he leads out prisoners with singing. I was pretty lonely as a single person. I think that's the reason why we end up running into the world. We run around trying to find a place where we fit in and where we exist. And the weird thing is I never actually found the church. The church was something which I kind of ran from. But when I came here, I actually found God, and I found a loving father, and I found home. And now I'm actually in a place where I'm living, where my family is here, my friends are here, and this is actually what God's called us for. And it's interesting. In the last season, we've been looking at New Testament values. We often talk about Acts 2:42. You don't have to put it up. It's fine. But Acts 2:42 is something that we as a church and Joshua generation believe and push into, because it's something that actually catapulted the new church into what actually we are now walking into. And the things that stood out there for me was that they had real committed relationships. I shared on Wednesday very briefly that I think Greg talks about the awkward the conversations, that Hannes was actually open enough to be accountable to me to point out things that I was missing and being real enough. And that's what happens when you have real committed relationships. It's not just looking at somebody and saying, hey, you know what? I see that big piece of jam on the side of your corner of your mouth over here. Instead of saying, you know what, just wipe it off. If you love a person, you're going to go ahead and do it. And you see moms doing it. Moms will go like, wipe it off quickly. That's because they care and they love you to go ahead. Some husbands, yeah. Unless you're germophobic, yeah. The other thing is meeting in homes. When I was in the world, I was running around trying to find a place to go ahead and fit in. But actually, when you open up your home, and that's where we're going to be, I also want to go ahead and actually kind of run tandem, is actually that with all this community reshuffling, is actually we meet in each other's homes and we get to know people. I've been here probably the longest. I've actually seen a lot of people come through my homes. I've seen a lot of people that are sitting here, but also people that have actually moved on to other points of leadership. And actually, it started in meeting each other's homes where we had those real conversations. We just broke bread. We had meals. We laughed. We sat and we watched rugby together. We just connected. And there were strong godly families. I initially thought blood was thicker than water. My family, I'm from a family of four in Durban, and I thought that was everything. Until I moved down over here, and this became my family. And I started building with people over here. I'm looking at people. There's old Uri. His sister-in-law was my first secretary many years ago. She was the first person that got married here. You become so intertwined and connected that this is actually now my family. This is the people that I know. This is my reference, more so than actually my own flesh and blood. And the other thing is that there's no separation through races and generational gaps. I mean, we're kind of in an amazing country where there's been so much difference of racism. And I look at Caesar, I laugh, I call him my coconut. I mean, we've been fortunate enough to go ahead and actually do marriage counseling with him. I mean, he's looked after my house. He's actually like a son. And the thing is, there's no separation because we're brothers in Christ. And that's actually what God's called us to do. He's called us to one thing, and that's to go ahead and love him regardless of what we speak, language, creed, color, and the rest. Okay. So that's actually what I think God's family should look like. But now, when I was living in America, I lived there for a year, I asked God and I asked the Holy Spirit to guide me and say, like, where am I going to find a church? Because the thing is, that's what God's called to go ahead and actually use as his vehicle on this earth. Interesting. The church is his family idea. And I couldn't go ahead and actually find a church. I mean, I didn't know anything. It's like some of the new people around here, like, how did you choose this church? What brought you here? You drive around or you look in the newspaper and you see there's so many churches in this area. These churches might be charismatic, and you look over there. So I would attend when I was in New York and when I was in Jacksonville, I would go and attend four different churches, and I'd ask the Holy Spirit to reveal stuff to me that, is this my home? Is this a place that I can actually believe is a place that stands out? And interesting, the signs that stood out for me when I was in America, and it's actually true to our churches over here, is that, did they preach God's word? Simple. Is it God's true word, a rhema word that came through there? Did the saints welcome me? It's interesting. We were back in Durban beginning of this year, and I went to a couple of churches that were quite mega churches. I mean, 2,000-3,000 people, and no one actually greeted us. I walked in the door, my wife and my family, and no one stopped and said, hey, how are you doing? Welcome. Small things, but I mean, it also shows what are the people catching the heart of what's being preached. In America, it was amazing. I had one place where the guys actually invited for a meal, and I got involved with them, and I said, hey, the guys are willing to allow us into their lives. And those are kind of small things that start happening. And then there was a Holy Spirit presence in the meeting. And I think that's where we start actually judging up and saying, Holy Spirit, is this a place that I can feel I can grow and add value? And that's kind of, I think, if I look at it, is what God wants for us. He wants us to go ahead and actually reflect what they are. And in his word, it says that let them be one as we are one. Interesting. The Trinity is such a conundrum in itself, that three are one, but actually that they're together. And God's called us, besides our differences, our ages, personalities, is to be together. And we can only do that to go ahead and actually reflect him, because I've only got a little bit that reflects Jesus, but collectively we reflect a much bigger, better picture of him. Okay, so if I look at actually, God talks about different things when you talk about actually a church, and a church for me is a family. So what does it stand out to? God talks about that in church, it's God's family. So this over here is people that are actually here on earth and those that are in heaven, because we've got people that we know that have died and have gone to heaven. So those are the ones that are in God's family. And then what makes a difference that we become a person in God's family? What is my kind of, I become like a membership if I join a running club. Our membership is when we take the decision to go ahead and actually repent to be baptized. And that's almost like kind of this little ring over here. It becomes a symbol. I mean, I got married to Alicia and I made a commitment and a covenant to God in front that I would actually stay faithful to her. This ring reminds me of the covenant. It's not no marriage, but it's actually a symbol of that. And when we get baptized, that's a symbol that we've actually made a choice to go ahead and follow Jesus. And that's actually something which I want to challenge us a bit later on, of those people that haven't made that, to maybe actually make that choice, because it's a very important and probably life-changing choice. And then what happens is we get committed to each other. Right now in a marriage, I think my voice is changing here. That's cool. It's fine. It's my voice fluctuating. It's not the transformer. We get committed to each other. We actually have to work at it. You know, interesting, we did a marriage course and we're still doing the marriage course, but marriage is something that we have to work at. It's so easy falling in love in the beginning, but you have to work at marriage. And I'm finding out it's something that I've got to choose to love my wife over my own personal differences, because we are different. Isn't it amazing? Thank you, Lord, for giving us it said, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. It shows you. Thank you, Lord. And then the next thing is, while we're actually here, we need to be preparing for heaven. So either we need to prepare ourselves for heaven or prepare others to go to heaven. And that's, I think, what a family, what God intends. Now, my question I want to ask you guys is, what is a family made up of? Can I ask? Put your hands up. What is a family made up of?
Father,
yes. Children, sees where. Mother. Grandparents, cool. Isn't that an amazing picture? That's what God actually put us into, family, where we have grandparents, because grandparents are present. In the old days in the church, if you look at just how our culture, our grandparents were around there to bring up their children, because the parents weren't able to impart values. Now we put our grandparents in retirement homes. We've like lost that gap because parents are running after careers and the rest. We need grandparents practically involved. Mark and Kathy have been, I mean, they know that. Besides his 80th birthday, he's been like a spiritual father and a spiritual mother to us. We've had to, as a couple, we've asked them to go ahead and even speak into our marriage because I want input. I want people that have actually got the wisdom and the knowledge of how to do things. And I want to encourage you guys. We've got great wealth of knowledge around here. And I mean, that's amazing. He's got three of his own children, but he's actually got capacity to even allow us in, which is, I mean, amazing. So the godly family needs to reflect God as long as we interact and we love each other. And interesting, I think if I look at what Jesus said in Matthew 12, it's not on the scriptures, Gina, but he says, they asked Jesus and said, who is my mother and who is my brother? Because they were outside wanting to meet him. And he said, interesting, and this over here in Matthew 12, he said, for whoever does the will of my Father is my brother, and my sister. And that's the interesting thing is that right now, when we are actually born again, true believers, you become my brothers, sisters, and my mothers and my fathers. And that's actually the true picture of what God's family looks like. It's not just my flesh and my fleshly family. Actually, strangely enough, I'm actually so distanced from my own family right now, just over time. I suddenly realize that our values and the rest have changed, but I've got more things in common in the spirit with people around here, you guys, than actually my own family. And that's what God intended us to have. This is actually our true reflection of family. Okay, so what is a spiritual father? Okay, so can I ask a question right now? What is a father meant to do? Just a couple of, let's... Lead the family, yes. Protect. Love his family, what else? Provide for his family. Discipline, yes. Anything else? Sorry? Protect, yes. Interesting. He's actually not to provoke his children. If you give it a summary quickly, he needs to bring them up in discipline and instruction. It's important. In the beginning stages, mom does it quite a lot, but the dad needs to come through. I'm preaching to myself because I've got four children, so I don't get, listen, we're not a true reflection of, we're a work in progress. I want to encourage all of us are works in progress. So never go ahead and actually disqualify yourselves. We're all works in progress. And right now it says it takes a village to raise a family. This is the village over here that my family's in. And this is the village that actually gives input into my children and to me. And I've had that just literally recalibration last week with Hannah. So it shows you that God can do it continually, and we need to be open and willing to allow that to happen. To train our children up in the ways of the Lord so that they will not depart when they grow older. Important. We're called to go ahead and actually push in and do that continually. Because the thing is, we want them to go ahead and actually walk into salvation. I want to go one day in heaven and meet my mom and dad and have my children there with me as well. That's the desire of all of us, to be together in family. A father shows compassion to his children. Important. We need to go ahead and do that. So now the question right now is that if I had to look at what a spiritual father does. So a spiritual father, there's an earthly father, and then we have a spiritual father. So right now there's some people over here that might not have had children. But that actually qualifies you to be a spiritual father. The fact that you are a father means that you're a male that actually is serving the Lord. It puts you in a position where you can actually give value and add something to the family. So a spiritual father determines the doctrine of their family. Okay. The religion, the household will follow. It says, as for me and my family, we will follow the Lord. Do you know there's a statistic that says that if a father is following the Lord and serving him, there's an 80% chance that the children will all become Christians. 80%, it's quite high. But if you look at the stats the other way around, if it's only the mom, it drops less than 50. And actually, if they're not, it even goes less and less. Because they copy what you do. They see that you're practicing what you're preaching. Did you know that God has actually appointed the husband or the father as the head of the home, to lead the home? That's actually quite a different thing because the world has tried to flick that on the side where a lot of men right now aren't getting jobs. I've just experienced that. And what happens is the women start generating the income and they start, and the world puts it, the values around where the woman becomes a provider, and that's not what God intended. God intended him, and it's not about a job or anything else. It's about spiritual headship, that he is the head of it, regardless if his wife is actually a flying CEO. It's that he's still the head of the household because God has put that mantle of authority on him. And the interesting thing is that when he's not just the head of his home, he's the head of his home for anyone coming in there. So I've got a community. I've got people coming inside there. And I always laugh. I think some of the guys in my com will remember that. Where the guys, we invited new people inside, and the little child runs with a little sticker, a little sucker, and runs to my wife's new couches across there. And I go, like, this is going to go wrong very quickly. I thought my wife grabbed it. We've got the authority to go ahead and actually correct things because in our home, we put certain things in place. My children have to adhere to certain rules in my house, And guests will do the same thing in my house as well. We don't sit back and say, oh, well, it's fine, do whatever you want. No, we have a responsibility to go ahead and actually bring that spiritual responsibility into our guests coming in our house as well. Okay. He protects and acts as a spiritual gatekeeper. This is one I think that I'm being challenged on. You know, we talk about being a gatekeeper as the elders. We need to protect what comes into the church. But each of us individually need to be that gatekeeper of what our children get exposed to. And I do. The world is pumping that boundary. I never grew up with this over here. So I don't understand it. You probably won't get me on it at the best of times. But this over here is pushing in boundaries on our children, where children just sit over there. I mean, I was driving through town, and I looked. Everyone was walking around like this on their phones. And I was like, I'm going to trip over the road one day because no one's actually watching. We're so busy watching or taking selfies. We're kind of missing that actually, yeah, what are we allowing in? And Alicia's always good. She says to me, what are you watching? And I'm going like, I don't know. I think it's age appropriate. It says it's PG. And I'm going like, okay, now who said it's PG? Have I gone ahead and actually weighed that up? Because that's a worldly PG. And the worldly PG now suddenly has profanity and possibly even nudity. And I'm going like, the world says it's acceptable, but it's not what we as Christians need to say is acceptable. The father, spiritual father, brings in godly discipline. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I mean, it's a thing that we're called to do because we love. And we do it in love, not in anger. It's important because I love them. My dad in the old days would give me, I forgot to say Puxla, but I know that he did it because he loved it. I look back and I go, wow, I respect him because of that. Because he changed stuff that I was doing and I deserved it. Now I can say it. never at the time would you ever say that you deserved it, yeah. And then the next thing is the spiritual father determines the spiritual direction. Okay, where are we going as a family? How are we doing stuff? And this is something I think the enemy comes to go ahead and actually rob, steal, and destroy. I mean, I've been through a season where I was going through the valley and I lost the vision of where we're going because I just looked around at the valley. And actually, God's got a purpose for us to walk through that valley and actually to lead our family through that valley, because otherwise we just miss the plot of why are we doing and what we're doing. The next thing is a father provides. Okay, he provides for his family. You guys said that. We need to go ahead and actually, by the sweat of our brow, earn and actually go ahead and actually look after our family, because God's called us to do that. And that's something which we need to do, to be an example and a role model. Because the interesting thing is our children copy the example we've got. Strangely, I think you'll find that girls will end up trying to marry a person similar to their father because that's their role model, what they think is a perfect example, and vice versa. We need to be that role model that actually reflects Jesus enough for them to at least head in the right direction. Okay, so I was quite blessed to have a great earthly father. And I think I was talking to Kuni just now, who's in the medical prediction. I said to him, my dad was an anesthetist. He used to work long hours. He used to be out at 9 o'clock till 11 o'clock. I never saw him. Strangely, none of the four children went into the medical field because they saw the toll it took on their time. But when he was there, and he actually gave everything he had to us. And that actually helped me understand what it was to have a loving spiritual father in heaven. Because I could see that over there, and I said, he's reflecting that over there. Some people don't have that example. And that's actually why our spiritual fathers are so important, because their example might be tarnished or broken in the earthly realm. But when they come to this church, in this safe place over here, you might be the closest reflection of Jesus to that person, mother or father inside there. And we end up, you know, the interesting thing is that we catch our father's traits. And the strange thing is we catch the good and the bad. And that's the important thing. We need to realize there's good and bad traits that come down from our parents. And we need to acknowledge, we need to rejoice and celebrate on the good ones. But the bad ones we need to go ahead and actually cut off in the name of Jesus, that we don't perpetuate bad things flowing down. In the Bible, it just talks about Jacob deceiving and how it passed on and it went through generational things. We need to cut those things off. And recognize them and say, you know what, that's wrong. I want to go ahead and pray that off our children. Because we catch the heart of the person that's actually fathering us. That's the important thing. We want to catch the right heart. Okay, spiritual mothers, let's ask you, what does a mother do? Cook. Cook. Amen. No, you're passing the blame there. A chef, a lawyer, and she's actually multitasking. Eh? What else? She's comforter. Yes. Heart of the house. Good. Good. Not just the cooking, sees we. Newly married guys. Hey, yay. Yes, she's called to love and care for her children. And I mean, it's an amazing thing that it kicks in. I've just seen when a lady gets pregnant, it's that nurturing spirit that kicks in, and it's about loving. And all the ladies run to the baby, and I'm going, it's built within you. God's made you that goes ahead and actually nurtures and cares for new life. You teach and train. I didn't understand babies until that early phase. I mean, when they started walking, then I think when Mike's little little guy is now. I understand them at that age. When they're small and they just sit there, I didn't know how to do it. Lycia says today that she changed the nappies of 4 children. And I said, there's a good possibility. I'm sure I did 1 or 2 in between them, but she did nurture and train them a lot better than I did. So I want to acknowledge her for that. And it also setting an example in the household, because in the beginning days, actually, it's all about mommy. It's amazing. When anything goes wrong, when the little kids are there, they always want mommy. Get hurt. It's always mommy. And I'm like, where's daddy? Daddy's only later on when it's, yeah. So the mom takes care. She does care. She's the heart of the home, as you said there. And the amazing thing is she helps her husband because he can't do it alone. I take my hat off to the widows as well, because it is an onerous task raising children up and loving them, but doing it on your own. And that's why God's called us in families, where widows are actually to be part of the family, because we add value inside there and actually assist and come alongside them. So if I look at just some of the things that a spiritual mother needs to do. Now, a spiritual mother, as I said, to qualify it, it's not just because you have physical children, you've got spiritual children around here. Because there's some people over here that actually might have never known a mom or had a good example of a mom. And actually right now we've got spiritual moms sitting over here that actually love and nurture and care. So what are those things stand out? So she keeps Christ first, spiritual mom. She loves the Lord, the God, with all her heart, soul, and mind. God's called us to do that, but that's actually what a spiritual mom needs to do. Interesting. This is an interesting one over here, to say submitting to a husband. This is a very difficult thing, but it's actually submitting to the authority God has given to the husband. Because God's given a mantle of authority across there. And I know that I think that we can go and say, you need to submit to me. But no, it's submitting to the authority that God's given the husband in the season to lead. She'll love, teach, train, and discipline her children. Because she's there with them and she shows them what's right and what's wrong. I think you said it, Thea, over there. She's the heart of the home. She's the keeper of the home. When you walk into a home, you actually feel there's a presence of the Holy Spirit is there. And that's actually because the mom has actually kind of made that tangible, where your people can come inside there and say, wow, I actually feel like this is home. And that's actually what God's called women, spiritual moms, to be. And the interesting thing is this is not somebody else's job. This is actually the responsibility of a mother to go ahead and actually to step into this role, because God's given that. It's part of your genetic makeup. It's who God's made you. We call it progenetic. What's the thing called? I forgot. Andrew did a whole preach on it. Okay, interesting. You got there in Titus. Titus 2 talks about highlighting the mother is a high calling. It's a massive calling. I take my hat off. I don't think I had the capacity that Lycia had running 4 children. I think there was one stage where there were 3 in nappies at any point in time. It's a high calling being a mom, and it's actually an honor and an amazing thing to be that. And the other thing in Proverbs 31, it talks about a woman managing her household well. And that's what God's called us to do, is to manage it well, because it's actually an example for others to look up and say, wow, look at that lady. She's actually managing her household well. And a spiritual mother is content. I think I was challenged recently about when Paul said in Galatians that he knows what it is to have much and he knows what it is to have a little, but to be content in both of those things. I think I kind of ended up being not as content as I should have been in the lack, but I realized that a woman actually can be content. I think through my last year of kind of the job hasn't been as stable or being up and down, Lycia's been content throughout the thing there. She's been probably more stable than I've been. I've been looking at her, but that's because God's called it as a quality within women to be that steadfastness. And the good thing about a spiritual mom is she seeks wisdom. And I've seen that with Lycia. She doesn't go ahead and actually do anything. She reaches out to people and asks them to speak into her life, to pray into her life. Well, sometimes we go ahead and as guys feel we've got it together. We don't. We need input. We need to seek wisdom and ask people that have got it to go ahead and speak into your life and to go ahead and actually help us. Yeah, we don't go ahead and actually look for any other, not man's approval. We need God's approval in how we do things. Okay, so that's what a mother needs to do. She needs to model godly behavior, train younger women. That's an interesting one. We've got actually, I sat in the Wise Ones last week, Wednesday. That's the elderly people. They say, I think if you're 65, MZ, do you qualify for Wise Ones? 60. So it's I'm above, it's just up my league. Closer. But I sat over there and you suddenly realize we've got so many amazing moms and dads that have actually been through so much that can actually impart so much into the lives. And we talk about training younger women. We actually need to go ahead and allow those people to speak into lives. And I almost want to encourage and just exhort the ladies in the Wise Ones just to rise up and actually to be those moms. And don't think that you've got nothing, you're just waiting over here. No, you've got so much to give. I really want to encourage you. I think one of the first preachers Mornay did when he came into our church, 13, 12 years ago, He did one on a Greek one about the man being the strong, powerful leader. And the Greek word for woman was actually, the explanation was the glue. The woman is actually, the spiritual mom is the glue in the household that holds it together. And it's amazing because I've seen it. Literally, it's the glue that God's called you to be. So I almost want to just challenge the spiritual moms to rise up and to be that glue. Stick the people together. I mean, we're always like, I feel my mommy here. Mommy is the person that holds stuff together because God's created you to be that. So don't go ahead and actually allow the enemy to go ahead and say that you're not that, because you are, and so much more. Okay, so children. Okay, so children, if you look at children in a way, they're actually almost like new believers. They're new people that actually, I mean, I've been privileged enough to go ahead and actually baptize my three boys, when was it, just a couple of months ago, and they became believers. And I'm going like, wow, okay, so now they've actually made the decision to step into that. But now a new believer has a lot of things that need to kind of, because they haven't been exposed. I remember sitting at Mikey's baptism on the beach, and he was very different to the Mike that's sitting right now. Man with the mic holds the look, yeah. So what we want to do is we want to find out, what does a new believer need to do? And that's a person that hasn't gone ahead. You know, I said the ring over here was a reflection of my marriage. If you haven't decided to go ahead and get baptized and actually make a decision to go ahead and follow Jesus, that's almost your decision to go ahead and say, I need to still do that to become, so you're almost a believer that needs to still get birthed. So you need to be, I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures over here just to quickly highlight them. You can put up Deuteronomy for me, Gina, thanks. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You need to be teachable. And these words I command you today shall be on your hearts, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. They shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and you will lie down, and when you rise. So the values of stuff needs to be massaged in. So new believers need to have that heart, but we as parents need to go ahead and actually be doing that as well. We need to be encouraging that over our children, over the people that are getting our care. So if you're a community leader, or even if you're just a saint that's parenting or just actually mentoring a person, that needs to be how our talk needs to be done. And I think Lysia often says to me, your talk needs to reflect Jesus. And sometimes I think the world comes out a bit more than it needs to be. The next scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the long on the earth. To obey is a difficult thing. It's something which we need to actually mentor it into our lives as well, that we need to obey just the spiritual leadership that's been placed over our lives, but also parents. So that if my children can obey me, they'll be able to obey a leader in the church, they'll be able to obey God's instructions. Because if you don't go ahead and actually start from young, when God says something, you go like, I don't have to obey that. So we need to start from young. Respecting, Hebrews 12. Sorry, I'm going through them fast, Gina says, firing them faster. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the fathers of spirit and live? So we need to go ahead and actually respect, because interestingly enough, I respected my dad. I remember there was a lot of fear when he used to come back home and they used to bring out the big belt. And it was stuff that he said, like, I've done something wrong. But the thing is, I respected him because I knew that I deserved those things. And nowadays, when someone comes and actually gives you a word of correction, we get offended and we go like, you know, who gives you the right to say that to me? But if you've got a close enough relationship and your bridge is strong enough to go ahead and actually bring a word of truth and knowledge over, we need to be kind of bringing words of correction in love to people so we can actually save them and actually kind of, bring them into the more of what God's got. 1 Peter 5 talks about being humble. You young men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. I think, you know, that the one thing they always say is that just, you know, go low and just go slow. And it's interesting with Christianity, if you run too fast, you go ahead and actually, you miss the plot. We need to go ahead and actually hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. But also pride and arrogance can go ahead and actually rob us of what God wants to do in our lives. Okay, and the young thing is, young people also need to honor. I think it's something which we've kind of lost. We're in an age right now where there's an entitlement. People feel that they expect certain things. But honor needs to be given. Exodus 20 talks about honor your father and your mother. The days may be prolonged in your life. Honor is something which is actually, it was an old principle, but it needs to be almost remassaged inside there. That there's an honor when a father steps in or a mother steps in and says, I want you to listen, that children need to do that. But also in our lives as well here. And then we spoke very briefly about spiritual grandparents. And what makes us unique? I think for me, the reason why I asked Mike and Kathy to speak into me, not just because I've got two of their sons that lead churches, is because I think there's a lot of stability in their lives. I think MZ said it at the Wise One. He says the only reason why they look stable is because it takes them, was it 2 weeks to kind of act on something? But it's actually that there's actually just an amazing stability and support and wisdom just because of the experience that comes from people speaking your life. So I want to encourage the, if you've got a little bit of gray hair in your head, I want to encourage you to be willing to go ahead and actually step out of your comfort zone and say, I'm willing to take people on and actually speak into people's lives because we need that. Honestly, through life, it gets so busy. I'm running around with children and everything else that I need people to go ahead and say, whoa, slow down. Just go ahead and actually do this and this. And that comes where grandparents are so, so important. Okay. So my question to you right now is, who is fathering or mothering you? Who's parenting you spiritually? Yeah, who's that? So I want to just mention John 5. You can put it up over there for us. John 5, 19. And Jesus gave them his answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that you'll be amazed. So the thing is that Jesus went ahead and actually said, follow me. But his example was actually he spent time with the Lord. And he went ahead and said, I only mirror what he's doing. So if you've seen me, you see him. And the disciples, the same thing. They said, we're just mirroring what Jesus did. And he set that example. My question right now is that are we mirroring Jesus enough to go ahead and actually reflect God correctly? And are people following that? Because the thing right now is that if we, there was a little movie with the kids who were watching the Ice Age, a little dinosaur ran around there and it ran through an egg, and then suddenly Sid the Sloth started doing a limp and all the dinosaurs copied him with a limp. We follow stuff automatically. So we need to make sure that we actually walk correctly and set the right example across there. Because we want to replicate good examples to our children and to our spiritual children. 2 Corinthians 6, I'll be the father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So God is the father in our lives, but we need to go ahead and actually rise up as fathers and as spiritual mothers and grandparents in this household. Because for this church to go ahead and actually move into the new phase where we're going into communities, it's almost like these are values we know, and we should be going, ach, Aidan, you're just telling us stuff we've known already. But the question right now is that, are we practicing those things? Is it evident? Can I tell you right now that what I've told you right now, you could say, I've done that all. I'm doing it perfectly. No, we're not. We're all works in progress. But it's good to go ahead and actually respin those plates and say, we need to do that because we're coming into a new season where we spoke about where communities are going to be launched. And we want to go ahead and encourage people to go ahead and step out of their comfort zones and become spiritual mothers, fathers, and grandparents. My community groups haven't, I mean, I remember the one, I think Mike and Kathy joined. It was an amazing group. It wasn't anything to do with me or anything else. It was because the Holy Spirit was there. And we had people go ahead and actually, because it was an amazing, we had single people, we had elderly, young with children, because that's God's family. It's a mixture. It's not just all the people with children. It's not all the old people together. It's a true reflection because when we're battling with children, I can rely on those that have actually gone through that and said, don't worry, you'll make it through this. So that's what it needs to be, where a true family needs to be reflected through there. So like I've said right now, we're actually amazing. I've got a huge amount of spiritual mothers and fathers like looking at me right now, all of you. That's it. So I want to encourage you, when we come back, as Greg said, in this new season, I want to encourage you, if you haven't joined a community or if you don't know what that is, a community, they call it cell groups, home groups, life groups, that's actually where the tacky hits the top. That's actually the real essence of actually what family is. That's where the building blocks start happening. I think Caesar shared that. That's where he was actually comfortable enough to step out of his comfort zone and allow God to give his spiritual wings a bit of space to flap and fly. And that's actually where you grow. So I want to encourage you guys, prepare your hearts. Ask God, say, God, you know, how can I bring value to this body? Because God hasn't called us to just sit over here and keep these chairs nice and warm. I could have put a heater on it to keep it warm. Light a fire. That could be dangerous, yeah. Okay, so what should spiritual parents basically have? Okay, two things, very simple. They need to live and walk by the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. I think that's Galatians 5. And the next thing is they need to be producing fruit. So my question right now is if you need to find a spiritual parent, go ahead and say, who's actually reflecting the fruits of the Spirit? And can I see it? Is it tangible? Is it there? That's a person I want speaking into my life. Because obviously they've caught the heart of what is actually what God's saying. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. I think one of the challenges I had when I was in the workplace is someone said to me, oh, you can't be the same at work as you are at church. You've got your work persona and then you've got your church. No. God's called us to be constant The way I am in church needs to be in the, reflected in the way I do my business, in my business dealings. And that's an important thing, because that's actually how you want to follow a person that's actually walking straight. Because otherwise we're going to get a copy of a copy, which is not what God's called us to be. Okay, so there's a good possibility that we right now, as a congregation sitting out here, fit into two categories. One of them is that we're either a spiritual baby, we've just given our lives, and we're growing, which is good, and that's awesome. I mean, like children, we want them to grow. So if you're in that category, I want you to grow. It's important. I think my brother ran a chicken farm in England, and they would walk through these 30,000 chickens, and any chicken that was smaller than the average one, they would have to cull. It was horrendous. But they said that chicken is not going to grow to its full potential. So the question right now is that it was like quite a, oh. So I had to learn how to cull chickens, which wasn't the greatest thing. So if you're a spiritual baby, you want to make sure you grow, because that's good. We're not going to kill anyone. No, let's correct that. But the next thing is in, the next side of it is actually you are a mature believer. So if you're a mature believer, then you need to be a mother or a father. So there's actually pretty much either you're a young person that's growing up and growing is good, or you're a mature believer that's actually mentoring and loving people. So if you're not in those categories, you might actually be, I think, as Greg said, if you've been in a comm for 10 years, you might start heading towards a place where you start stagnating. And that could be a dangerous place, because then you're in a position where you're not growing and you need to ask God, why am I not growing? And I think it's interesting. I think I was with Alicia, we had, I think, three children. And we used to attend comm as infrequently as possible because the kids were very, very difficult. And the elder at the time, Benny, from us, came and said, I'm handing you a community group. And I went like, but I don't even go to the comm. I don't even know the people. Who are they? I mean, he said, no, God's got it. You know, he said he took a bit of a risk on me, but yeah, he did. But the amazing thing is that I stepped into that. And Alicia stepped into that. And we started running comm. And you know the amazing thing is that actually God's given the ability for each of you to be spiritual mothers and fathers. And it's not for you just to lead a comm. It's actually that if you are part of a comm, that you're actually bringing value inside there, because there's a reason why you're there. Not just to go ahead and actually sit back and get fed, because only babies get fed. You need to be giving and bringing something, hymn, word, verse, whatever it is there. And I want to encourage you guys, step out, because that's how you grow and that's how God gets you to start moving forward. 1 Peter 2 to 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So you need to realize that you actually are part of a royal priesthood. God's given you the ability to go ahead and actually not just sit back. He's called us to go ahead and actually walk into the more. Isaiah 6. Then I heard a voice calling, saying, the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. I want that to be the cry of our hearts, actually, that we're willing to go ahead and actually go out of our comfort zones and walk into that. I think when we went through a season, we actually handed on one of our comms over to Anton and Fimke, and Mornay said to me, I want you to go ahead and actually, in this season, go and assist Jeff and Marlene for a comm. And for 2 years, Jeff and Marlene were running the comm, and we were part of them and part of their household. And it was actually that I kept saying, well, I have nothing to give. But actually, I did. I sat there with Jeff, and it was the most amazing season. I think that's when I met Samantha, Barbara, and Pat a lot deeper, because we kind of got involved in their lives. But we've all got something to do, no matter what season you're going through. Because we do go through seasons that we might not be on the crest. We might be in the valley. But in that, we can still bring value regardless of where we're at. We're all called into God's family. And this family right now is this body. And it actually starts really become resonating when we start actually becoming part of the community groups. Okay, so what is the thing of God's family? First of all, we call it a community group, and that's what we're heading into this next season. So you've probably heard Greg talking about that. And the interesting thing, as I said to you, is that we need to learn to co-labor together. Is that actually when I'm not able to do something, I can rely on somebody else. I can tell a Don, step up. Will you go ahead and actually share tonight? Will you open up your home tonight? And it's amazing having that depth where you can actually say, you know what, something's gone wrong right now, and the next person can step up and actually take over and run, because we all have God and God's eternal destiny in our hearts. Get accountable. That's for me an interesting word. It doesn't really mention it in the Bible, but it's honestly a biblical thing, which I think is such an important thing, because I don't see the full picture. I don't know how to love my wife. I've had a lot of people tell me to make coffee for my wife, and I do try and do it. I'm not doing it that well. But I need to meet her love language. But I need people to tell me and tell me continuously, because my flesh gets in the way and I keep failing every single time. So we need to be accountable that people can speak into our lives and choose a mature person. I mean, honestly, I think Andrew did a sermon once and he asked a person to stand up and said, who's actually counseling and who's fathering you? And he asked that guy to stand up. And he said, who are you mentoring below you? And he said, ask that person to stand up. And that should be a picture of how we are connected. So if I had to ask Don to stand up, I would actually say to him, who's mentoring you and who are you mentoring below you? And that should be actually what I want to, in this next season, ask each of you to go ahead and actually ask the Lord, who am I going to take on under my wing? I think I was actually, Melanie was just talking early on. She said, I feel like God's brought me here to assist Teresa. And I went, yes, that's amazing, because God's given us each an ability that we can actually take a person on under our wing, but actually also allow someone to speak into our lives. And if that happens, we become interconnected. And that's what God called us to be, family, where there's just no separation. We're there. Everyone's covered. Don't let the enemy isolate yourself. Believe me, the enemy wants to isolate you. We need to follow good, godly role models. It's so imperative. Honestly, I think the more we go ahead and actually isolate ourselves, we end up missing what God's called. So in this new season, ask God to reveal it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. He'll do it. He loves you. The interesting thing is, I said it up in the elders meeting, I can't fulfill the full destiny and purposes that God has for me without you guys. Honestly, I'm not going to get it. And individually, each of you aren't going to walk into the full potential that God's got for you unless you are totally slotted inside with us. So the thing is, you can either go ahead and go so far, or you can go further. And I believe God wants to take us as a body further. I mean, I look back at what God's spoken over this church 18 years ago. I mean, when we sat down in Milkwood School Hall, and we'd have to pack our chairs, and we'd have to clean up and pack again. And he said, you'll be a base church. And I went like, but we're like literally 50 or 60 people. How are we going to be a base church? We can't even like get enough. Now we've planted out AMPM, Hartenbos, George, AMPM. Mauritius. God's gone ahead and actually done it. And I look back and I go, you guys might not have actually experienced that or seen that. But there's a few of us that actually have seen those things, those prayer meetings on Thursday evenings. We used to sit over here and we used to pray for God to go ahead and actually use this body. And I look over there and I see that lighthouse at the back there. And I say, that was a word God spoke, that we would be a lighthouse shining, reflecting. We need to reflect Jesus. As you come in the door there, arena put up with those boats. The prophetic word was that we would be a harbor where ships would come and be restored. Not so they can go ahead and actually get put on a display, so they can go back out to sea. And that's what I believe God's got for us over here, is that our community groups need to be a place where we bring people in, we need to restore them, and we need to send them out. And that can only be done when each person brings their skill and their capacity inside there to add value to go ahead and actually restore stuff. And I feel that's what God wants to take us as a family into the more. Okay. Psalm 68 says, God sets the lonely into family, and he leads the prisoners with singing. If you're feeling lonely and you're challenged, I want to really encourage you in this new season, push yourself into this family. It's a decision you've got to make. If you don't push yourselves in, it's only yourself that's actually to blame for you not going ahead and actually walk into what God's got. So I want to really encourage you, step out. What have you got to lose? Honestly. I can tell you right now that this has been a family for us, just the two of us, Lucy and myself. This has been the most amazing experience. I mean, we've lived far away, where I've loved to be closer to family, but this has actually suddenly become a family where I've seen people's lives. Charlotte's first prophetic word that actually Seth would be born. There's Seth sitting at 16 years old right now. I mean, we've got people over here that I know, we've walked together, we've lived life together, we've seen stuff, and that's what God wants to do. He wants to connect us. So don't be insular, be part of the family, push in. And I want to encourage even the elderly people, I want you to be on fire going for it. I look back at Heather in the back over there, and Heather's mom, Natalie, I always talk about it. I used to confuse her name a long time ago, but her mom would come inside of here, and she, Auntie Natalie, used to be on fire. Jeff's mom, Doreen, and they used to be on fire, screaming, go Lord. You know what? I want to be, when I'm elderly, I want to be shouting and screaming and going like, yes, go for it. Because the thing is, you've got something to bring which the rest don't have. And I look back and I go like, sure, if they're ending and they're running their race like that, I want to do that as well. And so I even saw Doug the other day sharing the mic and didn't want to give the mic back. But it's because you were in eldership, leadership before. But I want to see you guys standing up more. I want to encourage you guys, get up, start adding value. I see an Andrew and a Ken and guys like that stepping up. I'm going, yes, we need more of those. Shaul, step up. You guys have got a lot of stuff to bring and value. Don't sit back and feel like my time is gone. No, this is the time we need you more than anything else, is to get in there and get behind us, because we can only do this collectively together. Okay, amen.